who was starting to look a little confused and unsure. "I'm getting pretty agitated now, Sam. Tell me to my face that it's Max you want. What are you hiding for? If you really think I'd ever hurt you, then just get out that pretty whip of yours. If you want to defend yourself, you can do it easy. Unless you're not Sam."
Chapter 14. Sam. I halted mid-stride as I entered the office to find Jared and Max having some kind of face-off. Not only that, but there was a woman cowering behind Max. A woman who was identical to me. Bloody hell! Three heads turned to look at me. Max looked stunned, my doppelganger looked anxious, and Jared seemed completely unsurprised. Max spun and glared at the woman behind him. Then his eyes repeatedly darted from her to me, as though he was trying to work out which one was the real me. "What's going on?" I snorted. "I was hoping one of you three could help me with that." Jared sighed. "Short version is, I teleported here and got to watch while Max had you wrapped around him, almost sucking your mouth off. Only it wasn't you," I realized. His eyes bore into the imitation of me. "Game's up, Joy."
"Joy," I echoed with irritation. I was even more irritated by the fact that she was wearing my jacket, which I'd left on the chair.
"I think she thought she could cause a nice big rift between us. I told her before that she'd never be you. It's stupid that she didn't just listen."
Joy's entire body seemed to twinkle, and then she was back to her old self. Max stepped away from her, rubbing his mouth as if to rub away any trace of her. He looked over at me.
"I came here like you asked me to, and she was sat at your desk. She said she'd made a mistake when she slept with him, and that it was really me she wanted."
"And you bought her little act? You thought that was me?"
"Well, I mean, I thought you sounded a little weird. Your accent seemed off, and your scent wasn't as strong."
"Probably because it was my jacket that had my scent on it, not her."
"But I didn't think it was someone else. Why would I?"
He turned to Jared then.
"How did you know?" "I just did."
Wearing the scowl from hell, Joy began ranting at Jared.
"Maybe now you know what it feels like seeing the person you care about with someone else. Maybe now you have a tiny idea of how I feel. Shame you didn't think it was really her and then attack us. I would have liked watching Max steal your senses and then pummel you."
"Bloodthirsty, isn't she?" I commented to Jared, before concentrating my focus on her. "I strongly advise you to scarper her out of this office before I seriously end up losing it. I have no time for anyone who thinks it's their right to play with people's lives."
"I'm not afraid of some spente."
"Then you're dumber than I thought," said Jared,
his voice heavy with impatience and aggravation.
"A good lay, isn't he?" she said to me, wearing a cocky smirk. "I quite like his tongue. Does he call you baby, too? I bet he tells you your blood tastes real good, too. Feels good when he zaps your clit with that gift of his, doesn't it?
Are we supposed to be comparing notes? Or is this just your way of telling me that I mean nothing more to him than any other woman?"
It wasn't something I hadn't already known. It was dumb that I cared. I shouldn't care about that fact. I shouldn't care that when he called me baby, it wasn't because he saw me as more than a shag. I shouldn't care about him. And yet I did. It made me want to slap myself.
"It seems only fair that you know. He has this way of making you think you're special to him, when the truth is, you're nothing to him but another piece of ass."
I placed my hand over my heart and said mockingly,
"Oh, I think I feel it shattering. You've killed the dream."
What worried me was that my words were a lot closer to the truth than I was comfortable with.
"Now, get the hell out." "It'll be a pleasure to."
Looking rather self-satisfied, she shrugged past Jared and Max. As she was passing me, she made an extremely stupid move. She abruptly reached out and clawed my face with her nails, like some kind of wildcat. Without hesitation, I dived on her, or at least I meant to. Instead, the strangest thing happened. I fell into her. My body invaded hers, fused with hers, melded with hers. It was an odd feeling, It was like stepping into an all-in-one suit, stretching my limbs into place, a suit that I could see out of. Then the other senses came to me, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting. And then the feeling changed again, as though the suit was being burned into my skin so that it became part of me, but the pain was only slight and brief. And just like that, I felt utterly invincible. I knew that I wasn't, but I felt it. Power was coursing through me, making me feel drunk on it. It was like a caged, pacing, agitated tiger. It wanted to be released, and I knew that if I unleashed it, I'd have a hard job controlling it. What the hell happened? My voice didn't sound like my own, nor did it sound like Joy's. It was kind of a mixture of the two. I looked down at my body and gasped. It was neither me nor Joy. There was a likeness of us both. I realized then that I hadn't possessed her body. By merging with her, I'd made us one being, one stronger being. Sam, drawled Jared in a soothing voice. It's all right. I looked at him incredulously. Are you kidding me? I'm far from all right. I could hear Joy's voice in my head. It wasn't a shock that she was cursing me. Oddly, I could pick up everything about her, as though I now had total access to her thoughts and feelings and memories. What I learned surprised me. She loved Jared, and she believed he loved me. Had she always been daft? Holy shit, muttered Max. It looks like you've developed a new gift or something. Then it all fell into place. Antonio, I'll kill him. Max looked pale, even for a vampire.
I think you might be a merger.
Oh, really? Whatever made you think that? Said Jared sarcastically before turning back to me.
Sam, I can sense how you're feeling, but I swear you're going to be fine. Just concentrate. You can undo this. I know it must be weird and unfamiliar, baby, but you can control it just like you control anyone else's gift.
I nodded, sucking in a long breath. His presence was like an anchor, and I so needed one of those right now. I concentrated on my water tank metaphor. I imagined water filling me so completely that there was no room for Joy any longer. I realized that I seemed to be involuntarily draining the energy from her half, taking it into me, soaking it up. Then suddenly I was myself again, and she was stumbling away. It was an odd sensation, like peeling away a bulky layer of clothing that was attached to your flesh like Velcro. It left a weird sensation behind on my skin, like little bugs crawling over me. Thankfully, it quickly faded, as did the feeling of being omnipotent. Immediately, Jared was there, his hand massaging my nape.
You okay?
His concern was beating at me. I could feel it as distinctly as if it was my own. It seemed that drinking his blood had made that weird link stronger. Great.
I'm fine, I said. But I still intend to kill Antonio.
He smiled a half-smile.
You'll have your chance soon. There's a meeting for all the commanders. Bran, Connolly, and Kaiser will be there too. Apparently, Bennington very briefly hinted at the idea of invading the Hollow, and they came to tell tales on him. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life.
Max shuddered. Then he looked at Jared. His eyes seemed to be searching for something.
You knew it wasn't her.
He still seemed confused. His gaze flickered between us both, and then he sighed as if he had resigned himself to something.
What happened today at the arena won't happen again, he assured me with a semi-smile.
Then he strode out, roughly dragging a dazed Joy with him. Jared pulled me against him, still massaging my nape. You all right? I asked him.
You're asking me if I'm all right when you're the one who's just discovered you're a merger as well as a feeder?
I shrugged. You're feeling really, really unsettled about something. I can sense it.
Of course I am. I've just watched you merge with another person.
But it wasn't just that. I knew it wasn't. I wondered if maybe he was just shocked after hearing Joy make it clear she cared about him. It probably wouldn't be a great idea to tell him she actually loved him. Nor was it a good idea to tell him that I cared about him as well. Evan was just as freaked as Max had been when I revealed, on the way to the meeting, I was now a merger. I almost stumbled in surprise as he stopped statue still as we entered the conference room, staring hard at something with his mouth hanging open. Following his gaze, I saw a red-headed woman who was sitting beside Bran. I remembered her as his consort, looking rather bored. By the awed look on Evan's face, I had a good idea who she could be. "Is that her? The girl from the vision?" I asked discreetly. He only nodded. His words came out in a whisper.
"She's real. She's here."
Jared put a hand on my back, urging me forward.
"Who?"
When neither Evan nor I responded, he frowned at Evan, who quickly turned to look at him. I gathered that they were having a telepathic conversation, and I wondered how much Evan would tell him. Seeing that people were looking at us curiously, I made my way to one of the few empty seats. Evan and Jared placed themselves either side of me. Evan was then directly opposite Bran's consort, who was staring at Evan like he was a snack. Well, it was a start.
"Why, Samantha, how are you?" asked Connolly,
after having greeted Jared and Evan and talked to them like they were gods. It almost made me laugh. "Fine and dandy, thanks."
"I don't know how you're not drained. You should have took some energy from me," said Jared.
The person who went away drained was Joy. Besides, I don't fancy teleporting to the arena in the bottom of the pool every 5 minutes like last time. Feeling particularly put out by my new gift, I added, "When Antonio and Luther come in, let them know about my gift having manifested itself, but don't tell them what it is." He smiled at my eagerness to have them kept in suspense.
"I was telling Jared last night that he may have set off a trend by having Asfente as a consort," Connolly said to Evan.
Jared smiled.
"Actually, consort isn't the correct word. She's a commander." "Within the Legion?"
Still smiling, Jared nodded. Kaiser scoffed.
"A Svente, a female Svente, working as a commander within the Legion? Absurd."
"Yes, I should be used to this by now, but apparently I wasn't." Before he could twist the cap off his NST bottle, I, in a movement so swift he hadn't seen it coming, sucked energy into my hands and manifested my whip, which I then cracked toward him and used to snatch his bottle. Bringing the bottle to me with the whip, I picked it up and read the label as I let the whip fade away. "Nah, I don't like that flavor." With that, I placed the bottle back on the table and released a gust of air from one hand, sending it zooming back to Kaiser. The commanders chuckled.
"A feeder," gasped Bran. "A Svente feeder," said Kaiser.
I winked at him and leaned back in my seat.
"But that is only a Pagori gift."
"And that is only one of many things that make Sam unique," announced a new, deep, rhythmic voice as he, Luther, and Sebastian strolled into the room.
"Antonio." As usual, Nero came to greet me with a lick to my arm, and then he squeezed himself between mine and Evan's chair, eager to be stroked. When both Antonio and Luther looked sharply at me with intrigue written all over their faces, I knew Jared had told them telepathically about the surfacing of my new gift. I could see that they were itching to know more. I merely smiled. After Antonio made all the introductions, he began.
"Bran, Rupert."
He called Connolly by his first name, the same as Jared did.
"And Kaiser have arrived to inform me about certain things that Bennington of Great Britain was heard to have said last night at Rupert's gathering. All of it supports Luther's vision. Bennington intends to attack the Hollow and is trying to recruit as many vampires as possible. Bran, Rupert, and Kaiser have agreed to support the defense of the Hollow by adding their own legions to ours, which has increased our numbers greatly. In fact, their legions are being teleported to the guesthouse and other accommodations as we speak. This sense of urgency I have is in light of what we didn't otherwise know before. Bennington intends to attack at midnight tomorrow."
There were gasps, mutterings, and curses. I was pretty much mute with the dread running through me. That gave us no additional time to train. We would literally have to put ourselves in place tomorrow evening and lie in wait. Jared's hand gripped mine under the table. I could sense his rage and his unease. Bennington might himself be nothing but a little fart, but his army of specially gifted vampires were a big concern. And God only knew how many allies he'd managed to secure.
It would seem that he decided to bring his timetable forward, probably because he suspected that my advisor may have had a vision, and so he hoped to catch us off guard. We may not have had as much time to prepare as we would have liked, but had it not been for Luther's earlier vision, we might never have been as psychologically prepared as what we are now. I would advise all commanders to spend this evening familiarizing yourselves and your squads as much as possible with the surrounding rainforest. I have additional security measures in place, including a stronger shield over the hollow, so that no one may teleport there until I have removed it. Even now, the other vampires and humans are being hidden underground.
Antonio cast a look at the three High Masters.
If you wish for your consorts to also be hidden, that can easily be arranged.
I think I can help, the redhead blurted out. Bran castigated her with a look, but Antonio waved away the break in etiquette.
We have become used to outspoken females, said Antonio with a smile. How is it you believe you can help, miss?
It's Allura. Well, you said you'd be using the rainforest. I can communicate with and charm animals. Ordinarily, they wouldn't aid us in any way. They see us as the ultimate predator. However, they'll sense that Bennington's lot are a threat to their surrounding environment. They won't like that. Even having them as spies would be useful. I saw how Evan had stiffened, and I knew he fully intended to suggest she was locked away for safekeeping. I subtly kicked him under the table. I agree that she might be able to help. She smiled at me gratefully for that. Last night she'd looked at me like I was no better than a dung beetle, just because I was a Svente. I felt Evan's eyes drilling into me and condemning me. Haven't you learned anything from me being here? He sighed and looked away, mumbling something about God needing to save him from women with strong wills.
Jared, Lou, Will, began Antonio. I consider you three to be the specialists on formations. Where do you suggest we place each squad?
Jared spoke immediately, his voice filled with determination.
I'm covering the front line. We agree that it would be an advantage for Jared and Sam's squad to be one of the squads covering the outer perimeter, said Lou. From what we have heard and seen, although the squad is reasonably new, the recruits are as prepared as any can be.
They kicked the ass of my squad, grumbled Evan. Antonio nodded.
The fact that they will have both Jared and Sam leading them makes them an excellent choice for that position. Wait, said Jared. I'm not sure Sam should.
My voice was like a whip. I really would ask yourself if you like your eyes, because if you finish that sentence, there's a good chance I'll gouge them out. He raised his hands in a placatory gesture.
It's nothing personal, Sam. I just...
When are you going to grow up and accept that we have to work together?
Sam,
this I-don't-need-help crap is getting old now. Hurts your pride that you have a female Svente backing you up, does it? Tough, that squad is mine just as much as it is yours.
I didn't say it wasn't. There are plenty of other places you could cover. I believe I already stated, Jared, that I wished for you and Sam to lead the squad together during the attack, said Antonio. It wasn't a request. Now, let us move on.
While Will and Lou put forward suggestions for the placing of the squads during the attack and what tactics each should use, I sat there seething. I didn't care that the irritation and lividness was pouring off me, or that everyone in the room could sense it. That sod had just tried to cut me out again. I felt utterly betrayed. He hadn't ever really seen me as an equal at all, had he? Not as a colleague, and probably not even as a person. He definitely didn't respect me if he thought he could shag me one minute, then turn on me the next. I'd understand if I didn't take my job seriously or something, but it was the opposite. I loved my job, and I tried so hard with those recruits. I'd invested time and sweat in their training, and it had paid off. And now Jared was happy to cut me out again. I was surprised by how much it stung. This was a person I'd come to care about, and as painful as it was to face, Joy had been totally spot on. I was just another piece of arse to him.
Sam, will you just...
I didn't want to hear it. I slammed up my mental shields. Victor had made sure I had strong ones to ensure I could resist any vampiric attempts at brainwashing. If Jared was going to shut me out, then I'd shut him out as well. He remained uncharacteristically quiet through the entire meeting, which I thought was pretty wise, because keeping a low profile in front of me was the only way I was going to calm down. After much debating, it was eventually decided that the Hollow's Legion would cover the north of the island, Bran's Legion would cover the east, Connolly's would cover the west, and Kaiser's would cover the south. It was also agreed that Allura would join Evan's Legion for the attack. I suspected that this was the only way he'd be able to function, having her there where he could see she was safe. The second Antonio announced that the meeting was over, I was on my feet. Apparently Jared's common sense had left him, because he tried to speak to me again. I pointed at him hard.
"You stay out of my face!"
"Why can't you just..."
"Sam," called Antonio as he approached.
"Might Luther, Sebastian, and I have a word?"
He gestured for me to follow them, and Jared, the cheeky twat, actually went to follow.
"Alone," Antonio added.
Jared spat a profanity at the ceiling and stormed off, muttering to himself. It wasn't until we were inside one of Antonio's many parlors, settled on a bulky sofa, that he spoke again.
"I can only apologize for Jared's behavior. I had thought that he would have accepted the situation and swallowed his pride by now."
"I don't want to talk about him," I said as I stroked Nero attentively, hoping to calm myself. "Let's just get down to business, shall we? You want to know what my new gift is, right?"
"The wait has been agonizing," admitted Luther with a smile.
"I doubt your suffering was much worse than the shock I had when it surfaced." Seeing their looks of expectation, I decided to teasingly spoon-feed them info. Simple pleasures and all that. I smiled.
"It's really good."
"How good?"
"It turns out that this gift doesn't run in Svente lines either." I heard them all gasp slightly. "Should I be shocked by that, or did you expect it to not be a Svente gift, considering that my other one isn't?"
"We had no way of knowing," replied Antonio.
"It runs in Pegori lines, just like feeders. Oi, you don't think I'm really a Pegori, do you?"
"You're definitely a Svente, as you well know," said Antonio impatiently.
Sebastian appealed to me with a look.
"Is the suspense really necessary?"
"It's pretty rare."
"Oh, Sam, do stop this and satisfy three old men's raging curiosity."
"It turns out I'm now a merger as well as a feeder." All three men gasped again before smiling approvingly. Luther puffed.
"I hadn't seen that coming." "Oh, this is even better than what my guesses were," said Antonio. "I've only ever met one merger before. It is a substantial gift." He described the sensation of merging with someone as slightly painful and uncomfortable, but also very empowering.
I nodded. "You feel full of power, like you could do just about anything."
"That is why it can also be a very dangerous gift to have."
I nodded again. It was so odd. I could tap into every single bit of energy that was inside Joy.
"Joy?"
asked Antonio, a brow arched. I continued on regardless. But I knew there was no way I'd be able to use her gift, because she was resisting the whole experience. But I could have drained her. Full points to me for resisting.
"As I said, it is a dangerous gift to have. People can become drugged on the energy and power. But then again, being a feeder can be just as dangerous, and yet you have more than mastered that. Still, be careful with it, Sam. Be wary of using it during the attack. You are still new to it, and that would be the wrong time to experiment with it."
"What would be the point of having these gifts if I ain't going to use them?" I'd be using them for something else very soon, too, and I was as eager as hell for it. Jared would have no room to moan, because he'd brought this on himself.
Jared. Shit, shit, shit! There was no denying that I had well and truly fucked up.
Just when I'd had Sam starting to relax around me and open up to me, I went and said something that pretty much guaranteed that she would hate me. I knew what leading that squad meant to her. I knew that she was capable of leading them during an attack. In fact, she was one of the most capable commanders I'd ever met. I knew how much the squad would benefit from having her there during the attack. I knew how much I'd benefit from having her there. I knew that she could take care of herself and didn't need mine or anyone else's protection. So why didn't I want her covering the front line with me? Because just the thought of her being in that level of danger made me feel ill inside, no matter how capable she was. And why did the idea of her in danger make me feel ill inside? For the same reason that the idea of her in danger scared the crap out of me. I loved the crazy bitch. I'd realized it the second I teleported into the office and saw her with Max. Or, I should say, I saw Joy with Max. It explained so much. Why I hadn't been able to shake her off. Why I'd wanted her so badly and so completely. Why I sensed her and her emotions. For the first time in a long time, I had let a woman past my mental barriers. And I hadn't even realized I'd done it. I had no idea when it had happened, or if it had been a gradual thing that had only crept up on me tonight. I just knew that it was real, and that if anything at all ever happened to her, I'd never be able to get through it. I also knew that I couldn't tell her. Sam had once told me that she didn't want to love anyone ever again, that she didn't want anything complicated. Telling her I loved her would be a surefire way to make her keep as far away from me as possible. I was going to have a hard enough time getting her to calm down for me after what went on in the meeting, so mentioning the word love was out of the question. Sick of twiddling my thumbs and procrastinating, I teleported from my apartment to the office. Time to face the music. I frowned at the empty room. Next, I tried her apartment. No Sam there either. Was she staying away from the obvious places because she didn't want to see me? She had to know that all I had to do was tap into that link we had and use it to find her. Unless she wasn't aware of it. Sighing, I reached for her through the link and immediately teleported myself to her. Suddenly I was at the arena, which was empty apart from Sam. She was pacing at the northern side and smiled evilly at me when she saw me.
"Took your bloody time," she snapped.
Then I watched as she sucked the surrounding energy into her palms and shaped it into her silvery blue energy whip. Oh, shit. She'd known about the link. She'd known I could use it to find her. And she'd been counting on me doing it. Chapter 15. Jared. "Sam," I drawled in a calming tone. "Let's talk. I don't want to duel with you." She cracked the whip at me. I jerked back a few steps, and it missed me by inches. "Look, I know you're mad at me, but..."
"I'm not mad. I'm pissed."
She cracked the whip at me again. This time it caught the hand I'd held up in a white flag gesture, and it stung like fuck.
"Jesus, Sam, will you just listen? What's the point? There's honestly nothing you could say that would change the fact that I want to whip your ass around this arena until you beg me to stop. Not that I will stop."
Again she lashed the whip, and again it caught me, this time on my ear. Even in spite of the pain, I couldn't help noticing how sexy she looked right then, with her eyes smoldering and that whip threading through her fingers.
"Baby, just listen to me." "Oh no, you don't get to call me that. I'm not your baby."
As if to punctuate that, she cracked the whip again and it slashed my chest, tearing my t-shirt and also the flesh underneath. It burned even as it healed itself. What burned more were her words.
Like hell you're not. I released a stream of electric sparks through my fingers, zapping the ground near her feet. I could tell by the maddened expression on her face that she knew I'd purposely missed. Fight me! Abruptly, she cracked the whip hard. It sliced along my cheek, lips, and jaw. It hurt like a bitch. Without giving me time to recover, she cracked it again. A sharp, burning pain ran along my thigh. I told you I don't want to duel with you. Now will you just calm the hell down so we can talk?
About what, air boy? About how I'm okay to shag and feed from, but I'm not good enough to lead alongside you? About how you're cutting me out again? About how you're a sexist, lying, backstabbing bastard?
The whip slashed through my t-shirt again, so there was now an X running through it. It wasn't that I was trying to cut you out.
You've been trying to cut me out from day one.
This time the whip cut through the flesh of my shin. Jesus, this woman was merciless.
You know what's funny? Last night at the gathering, when everyone was looking down on me 'cause I'm a Svente, I wondered if you'd go back to being like that after you'd shagged me. Seems like that was more of a premonition, really.
Damn it, Sam, I don't look down on you. The whip caught my earlobe so hard, I jumped. God damn it!
I can't believe I ever thought you might just respect me. Not that I thought you respected me as much as the others do, but I thought you might just be getting there. But no, you're still the sexist twat I met at the pool.
If you just lower that whip for a minute and let me speak, I can explain. The whip clipped my earlobe again where it hurt the most, which was obviously why she'd done it. Although my blood had only seeped to the surface slightly with each tear of my flesh before repairing itself, the scent was still potent in the air. I could see that it was getting to her by the way her nostrils were flaring and how she was repeatedly swallowing hard. I was thinking of how I might be able to use it to my advantage, but her next words cut off all thoughts.
Max was right about you. I should have listened to the bloke. I should have stayed well away from you. I should have shagged him.
And there went my patience and my rationality. With my Pagori speed, I was on her before she'd even finished lashing the whip, slamming her into the wall. I don't want you on the front line because I don't want you being hurt, you insane bitch. Then I closed my mouth over hers, forcefully thrusting my tongue into her mouth to stroke her own. It was a punishing, possessive, hungry kiss. That same blast of fire that always came with kissing her rushed through me just as it rushed through her, but I could sense she was still ready to fight me off. I palmed her breast and then, with my thumb, zapped her nipple with a brief electric discharge. She jerked and moaned, so I did it again. How could you think I looked down on you? I demanded. But I kissed her again before she could speak. Whether you believe it or not, I admire you, I respect you, and I care about you. I held back the L word. Maybe there would come a time to tell her, but it wasn't now. I sensed the shock she was feeling quickly give way to skepticism. Cutting off whatever she was about to say, I cupped her and zapped her clit. It's true, and I can't stand the idea of anything happening to you. While zapping her clit again with one hand, I zapped a nipple with the other. She half moaned, half whimpered, and gripped my t-shirt as if to anchor herself. Like that, baby? Her eyes flipped open, and her glare was fierce.
I said, don't call me that.
I cupped her harder and zapped her clit again. I'll call you that as often as I damn well want.
You're a bastard.
I freed my painfully hard cock from my jeans. Yeah? Well, this bastard's about to fuck you, baby. With Pagori speed, I slipped my hands under her thighs, hoisted her up, tore open her pants, and plunged inside her, seating myself to the hilt in one harsh stroke. We both groaned. "Jesus, Sam!" I breathed against her lips as her muscles clamped around my cock. She was so hot and tight and wet, and she was all mine, whether she liked it or not.
Sam. Why did it have to feel so good to have him inside me? The way he filled me and stretched me made me feel completely and utterly taken. I wanted so much to hate him. I wanted so much to be able to snort at his claim to care about me and airblast him away. If it hadn't been for that link, I'd have been convinced that he'd been talking tripe, but I'd sensed his honesty and also his fear that I might be hurt. I had to admit to myself, though, that even if I hadn't sensed those things, I probably wouldn't have been able to fight this need to have him, especially when this might actually be our last night together.
"Can you feel how much I love being deep inside you?"
His voice was thick with lust and a need to move that, for whatever dumb reason, he was resisting. I nodded.
"I can sense how much you love it, too."
It was at times like this that stupid link really cheesed me off. Him knowing things like this gave him power over me. To add to that, it made me feel exposed and vulnerable, like I was an open book to be read at his leisure. What was frustrating me even more now, however, was that he wasn't moving. I tightened my legs around his hips and squeezed my inner muscles around his dick, hoping to incite him.
"You want me to fuck you, baby?"
"You dare ask me to beg again, and I'll rip your bollocks off."
"I don't want you to beg. I want you to admit that it's only me you want, no one else." "What, you thought saying you wished you'd fucked Max wasn't going to make me pissed?"
Oh, and he was pissed. In fact, I'd never seen Jared this agitated before. In all fairness, though, if he'd said something like that to me about another woman, I'd have set him on fire and done a celebratory dance around his ashes.
"Admit it. It's not him you want buried inside you like this, is it?"
"No." Rewardingly, he withdrew and then drove himself deep. I groaned and locked my arms around his neck.
"And it's not any other guy you want like this either, is it?"
"No." Again, he withdrew and then surged into me, wringing another groan from me.
"Who is it you do want? Tell me."
"You."
"That's a very good thing, baby, because if another guy even tries to touch you, I'll fucking kill him."
Palming my ass to hold me still, he began pounding into me like he was possessed. And that was exactly how I wanted him. God, it was absolutely amazing. Each thrust was harsh and ruthless. It was as if each time he drove into me, he was driving home his words.
"I've needed to fuck you since the second I laid eyes on you, Sam. Even then, even that very first day, I couldn't shake that goddamn feeling that you were mine."
I opened my mouth to say something, but all that came out was a moan. I realized then that I had no idea what to say. Part of me wanted to deny that I was his or anyone else's, yet another part of me wanted to growl at him that he was mine too, and that he'd better remember that. I wasn't sure what he saw in my expression, but suddenly he raised a brow and growled.
"Are you going to tell me you're not mine?"
He knotted a hand in my hair.
"Are you?"
Begrudgingly, I said. "No, but you're still a bloody bastard." He gave me a lopsided smile, and then there was an odd sensation in my stomach, and suddenly I was lying on my back on golden silk sheets. Jared was stood at the edge of his bed, tugging off what was left of my pants and thong. He then rid himself of his own clothes, but I didn't get much time to ogle, because abruptly he closed his mouth over my clit and suckled. Jesus! At the same time, he ripped my top and bra wide open and started zapping my nipples again, subjecting me to a sensory overload. He really was a bastard. I hated the way I was writhing and twisting and whimpering, but I couldn't help it. I wanted to tell him to stop, but if anyone knew how to tease, it was Jared,
and he was such a master at it that he robbed me of the ability to speak. He continued until I was not only speechless but mindless. Then my entire body clenched and jerked, and it felt like I'd imploded as my release hit. When I opened my eyes again, it was to find him gazing at me, wearing the cockiest self-satisfied expression. I just wanted to wipe it right off his face. Oh, and I was going to. I crooked my finger at him, and instantly he crawled over me and meshed his lips with mine. His kiss was hungry, and again, possessive. If he hadn't been off guard, I doubt I'd have been able to do it, but I actually managed to flip him onto his back. He looked up at me as I straddled him, surprised but pleasantly surprised. I didn't impale myself on him as he was obviously expecting. No, because I had a point to prove, that I could make him as mindless as he could make me. I shrugged off my ruined top and bra and then crawled backwards until my head was level with his cock, which was, I have to say, a very impressive one. I licked the entire length of it from base to tip and then swirled my tongue around the head. Jared shuddered and groaned. Knowing this was going to shock the hell out of him, I couldn't help smiling. I inhaled the energy around me, just as I had that time in our office while we dueled and wrecked it. But instead of releasing a concentrated air blast, I threw my head back and exhaled a timid flame of fire, heating up my mouth. Jared's brows shot up, and I smiled, but before he could speak, I'd closed my mouth over his dick.
Jared. As Sam took my cock into her scorching hot mouth, I almost came right then. I'd never felt anything like it before. Christ, baby, that feels so fucking good. It would have felt amazing having her deep throat me, purely because it was Sam. But this, Jesus, she was going to kill me. She sucked me deeper each time, gliding her hot tongue along the underside, and occasionally grazing with her teeth. I was completely hypnotized by the sight of my cock disappearing into her luscious, talented mouth. She was sucking so hard that her cheeks hollowed. Christ, Sam! And now she was playing with my balls at the same time. God, I love this woman. This very crazy, borderline homicidal. On second thought, scrap the borderline. Woman. I drove my hand into her hair and began lifting my hips, surging up to meet her burning hot mouth. I was practically fucking it, but she just smiled around my cock. Knowing I wasn't going to last much longer, I pulled her head away. I need to be inside you now.
Wait, she said as I tried to tug her toward me. One more thing first.
I watched as she curled her soft hand around the base of my cock and lowered her mouth onto the head. She sucked hard, and then there was a sharp sting. Shit! The crazy bitch had bitten my cock! I was a vamp, so sure I liked to be bit, but my dick? Hell no! But then her svente saliva got to work in my system as she continued to suck. And holy Mary, Mother of God, I thought my entire cock would explode. Oh, fuck yeah! I didn't think it was possible for her to suck harder, but then she did. Only seconds later, a loud guttural groan left my throat as I erupted into her mouth. Wearing that wicked smile on her beautiful face, she was like a sinful angel. Come here. Slowly, she slinked her way over me. You're amazing. Do you know that? I grabbed her by her nape and pulled her face to mine, taking her lips in a searing, greedy kiss. I clutched and molded those breasts that were, hands down, the most incredible pair I'd ever seen. You couldn't look at them without wanting to bury your face between them, so that was exactly what I did. Then, unable to resist the taut buds, I closed my mouth over one, suckling and nibbling. God, I loved those husky moans she made. Already my cock was hard again, just listening to them. I flicked her other nipple repeatedly with my tongue, then plucked at it with my teeth. You like that, don't you? She moaned in response. Unable to wait any longer to be inside her again, I grabbed her by the hips and poised her above my dick. Ride me, Sam. Even if my life had depended on it, I couldn't have moved my eyes from the vision of her lowering herself onto my cock. 1 inch. 2 inches. Then she stopped.
Let go.
The second I dropped my hands from her hips, she slammed down onto me, impaling herself to the core. Son of a bitch! When another wicked smile split the tricky bitch's lips, my cock seemed to harden even more, if that was possible. Slowly she elevated herself until only the head remained inside her, and then she slammed down on me again. Jesus, Sam! She did it again, and then it seemed as though her restraint had snapped, and control became nothing more than a distant memory. She rode me hard and fast, slamming down on me over and over. Nothing had ever felt better. Needing to touch her, I squeezed her breasts and tweaked and pinched her nipples. It wasn't enough. I needed her lips again. Fisting a hand into her hair, I dragged her down and ravished her mouth as she continued to ride me so hard I thought my cock would snap. So close to the edge now, I gripped her hips and began lifting to meet each of her downward thrusts. Seizing her gaze, I growled, "Come for me, baby. I want to hear you scream my name for me again." I sank my teeth into her neck, groaning at the taste of her. Her body tightened and jerked, and her muscles contracted around my cock as she screamed my name. I slammed her down onto me one final time, and then held her there as I exploded inside her, growling, "Mine." With my body then totally replete, I sank into the mattress as she flopped down over me, flaccid against my chest. I curled my arms around her, panting and shuddering with the aftershocks. This, here and now, was the ultimate definition of sated. After a couple of minutes of comfortable silence, she spoke.
"I'm working the front line with you and the squad, whether you like it or not."
Playing with her incredibly soft hair, I sighed. "Is it really terrible that I want you safe?"
"If I asked you to cover a safer position, would you?"
Damn it, the woman knew what cards to play.
"I wouldn't ask you to, because I know that hiding in the back isn't who you are. And if you honestly think I'd leave our squad to cover the front without me, then you're an extremely dense individual."
The protectiveness in her voice made me smile. I released a groan of surrender. "If you let anything happen to you, I'll strap you to this bed for a month."
"Tell me how I lose in this situation."
Laughing, I lifted her chin with my finger and mashed my lips with hers. "Come on, then. Let's go gather up our squad. We need to inform them about the upcoming attack and go over the plan for tomorrow evening. Then we eat." Needless to say, none of the guys took it well, but they were pleased to know that they were covering the front line. In the past, both Sam and I had, separately of course, taken the guys through the rainforest many times, so they were familiar enough with it by now. Still, we took them again. What they were not familiar with was Sam and I putting up a united front, and I could see how awkward they felt, as if not knowing who to focus their attention on. And didn't that just make me feel like shit? I'd done that. I'd actually let my pride get in the way of the guys' training. Thinking about the way I'd acted, it was a wonder that Sam even entertained my existence, let alone slept with me. I refused to let myself hope that there must therefore be feelings involved on her part. I'd told Sam I cared about her, but she hadn't said the same. Nor had she expressed the same protectiveness over me that she had over the squad. It hurt more than I cared to admit. But then again, she'd said it was only me she wanted, right? She didn't dispute that she was mine. Even if it was all physical for her, it was enough for now. It had to be, because there was no goddamn way I could give her up.
Chapter 16. Sam. God bless the excellence of vampire night vision. The forest floor was generally dark even in daylight due to the canopy overhead, so right now it was pitch black. The humidity was bad as well. If it wasn't for the natural glamour that came with vampirism, my hair would be frizzy and wild. Currently, I was crouched beside the buttress roots of a canopy tree, letting my eyes scan through the scattered, interlaced hanging lianas, vines, and climbers. I knew I'd hear anything before I saw it, but still, I had all my senses on high alert. The animal sounds that I usually loved about the rainforest were gone tonight. There was a tense hush, like each and every creature was holding its breath, waiting for the war to start. I knew that Allura had already whispered news of the upcoming attack to some of the animals, so it would seem that word had gotten around fast. Taking advantage of our intimate knowledge of this area, Jared and I placed the squad members on different levels of the forest. It wasn't the same for all rainforests, but here it could be broken up into five vertical layers. At the top, you had the overstory, which was the crowns of scattered trees. Up there were David and Butch, as they had better agility than the others. Next, you had the canopy, which was the ceiling of closely spaced trees. There, Stuart and Denny were perched, because they had the next best agility. Then there was the understory, which was the layer of trees that were spaced further apart than those above. There we had Salem and Max, as they were the best climbers. Then there was the shrub layer, which was made of even more widely spaced trees, all of which were much shorter. Covering that were Harvey and Reuben, merely because Chico and Damien didn't like trees, or, more specifically, they didn't like the insects that crawled along them, so I had to put them on the forest floor. Jared was supervising the overstory, canopy, and the understory. I was covering the shrub layer and forest floor, but both of us were keeping in contact using his telepathy. It was comforting to know that he was just a, well, thought away. I knew that no matter what he was doing or what was happening, if I called for him, he'd come straight away. That was why I had no intention of calling for him if I needed help. Another person would weigh the situation wisely, and if the situation was that I'd need to wait, I'd be left waiting. During an attack like this, that was how it needed to be. Still, the idea that he would come for me like that gave me a warm feeling, just as it had when he told me he saw me as his. Just as it had when he'd been inside me that last time, before we fell asleep. Every thrust had been leisurely, deliberate, and sensual. He'd held my gaze with his the entire time, and nothing in my life had ever felt more intimate. It had scared me, as much as it had electrified me. I couldn't work out whether, when he said he thought of me as his, he meant he actually wanted me to be. He'd said he couldn't shake the feeling off, but he'd said it in such an aggravated voice that I didn't know whether to take that as him meaning that he wanted to shake it off, and it annoyed him that he couldn't, or that he wasn't going to try. There was a big difference between someone saying they felt like you were theirs and them wanting to claim you as theirs. Once a vampire claimed someone for their own, they bound themselves to them with a binding ceremony, a vampy wedding, and they never took anyone else after that. I couldn't envision Jared making that kind of commitment with anyone. God, if anything at all happens to him. Even the thought of that was a lot to bear. I already knew exactly what it would feel like to lose him, because I'd felt it with Bryce. But I suspected that it would hurt more with Jared. What I knew for a downright fact was that if I lost him tonight to Bennington's crew, I'd kill every last one of them. Where the hell were they? It had to be around midnight now.
You okay?
Jared,
I guessed he must have sensed my mental restlessness. Just wishing we could get this over with. Patience isn't a quality of mine.
Oh, but you do have plenty of qualities to compensate for that.
There was no mistaking what kind of qualities he was talking about. How you can be thinking about sex right now is anyone's guess.
Thinking about you makes me think about sex.
I had to smile at that. Then don't think about me.
I already tried that. Failed miserably.
Try harder. After about 10 seconds, he came back with,
"No, it's still not working."
"Please don't tell me you have a hard-on," I joked. But there was no response. Nothing. It made the hush around the rainforest feel even worse. "Jared?" No answer. "Jared, don't ignore me. You've got me nervous now." A few seconds later, he responded.
"They're here. That was Evan contacting me. A few of the animals told Allura that a load of vamps have just been teleported to the outer edge of the north."
That meant they were no less than 100 feet away. Stretching out my senses, I searched our surroundings. "I can hear them. Alert the squad." I waited while, telepathically, he relayed to the recruits what he had told me. "We've been over this formation 1,000 times, so they better remember it, or I'll jam bamboo up their asses." As the vampires neared, the tension in the rainforest seemed to increase. There were 8 in total. Most had red tints to their irises, whereas 2 had amber. Their nervousness and apprehension was apparent in the air. I watched as, wearing clothes as dark as ours, they moved separately and stealthily through the trees. No covering each other's backs or working as a team. This couldn't be Bennington's real army of firecrackers then. These were obviously the expendables sent in to test the waters. Things were going exactly as Jared predicted then. As he'd suggested earlier, we let the group of expendables pass by. Letting Bennington believe he'd found himself a safe passage was the way to draw him out. An effective method to getting to people who were difficult to reach was to make them come to you. We knew Evans and Lou's squads could take care of the expendables. Minutes went by, but there were no more vamps. I wondered if any had teleported to the other areas yet. We doubted that Bennington would attack from all sides. He was too much of a bulldozer. He liked to just barrel right into the thick of things. But his allies were a different matter.
"Evan's just been in touch. The expendables are nothing but ashes now," Jared told me.
"Good." It was a few minutes later before there was more movement. This time it was a group of 10, and they were all Pagoris. I held my breath as I waited for the squad to act, as Jared and I had instructed. Suddenly, the 10 stopped dead and swerved their heads slightly, and I knew that Max had stolen each of their senses. Quick as anything, Chico appeared from behind a protruding tree trunk and shot the 10 with thorns. As Reuben had amplified Chico's gift beforehand, the thorns had placed the vamps into a long but temporary coma. Of course we could kill them, but we didn't want the scent of blood in the air or a lot of noise going on. Besides, Antonio had expressed a wish to have some live captives. Before the 10 vampires' bodies could flop to the ground, Max, Salem, Reuben, Harvey, Stuart, and Denny were there, silently hurling them up onto the tree branches to be hidden. A silent sigh of relief left me. It was over in seconds. So far, so good. More minutes of nothing passed, and I started to wonder if something had tipped Bennington off. Then I heard a large number approaching.
20 heading this way, announced Jared.
I knew that each time he announced something to me, he was also informing the squad.
We let them pass us and then picked them off from behind using the formation we went over at dusk.
This cluster of Pagori vamps was more covert than the others. They each moved fluidly and silently, covering each other and reaching out with their senses. As such, they got a terrible shock when Max stole them. Before they could blindly use their gifts and hint at what was happening, Chico was there again, exhaling his thorns, while Salem dealt some psychic punches. Denny reached out from the canopy, shooting green, sticky ooze out of his hands to trap some of the vamps and bounce them up to him. Again, the squad hid them in the trees, and again I gave a silent sigh when all went smoothly. It was only about 40 seconds or so before more came. 30 this time. Because they were all slightly spaced out, Max couldn't encompass all of them to steal their senses. Shit. Do you think if we let them pass, Evan could take care of the first 10 or 15 and then we'll pick off the rest from behind?